And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear here on Declare Your Independence. And we're going to prove that by talking about all the scary stuff that's going on. Damn, it is to be afraid. I'm afraid. Not really. You know, I just got a text message from my third child, my second oldest son, okay? My second to the last kid. I don't know which. He goes, here, did you see this? And as the Economist, and it had 1988 cover of the desire for a world currency. And it talked about that. And I've seen that cover before. It's used to kind of make a point. They've been doing this for a long time. But I don't talk about that. I couldn't talk about a lot of this stuff with my kids. They're just like, you know, God, Dad, we lived through it. Oh, make it stop. You know, so I don't make a big deal out of it. I answer questions. Never ask Dad a question because it'll become a thing, you know. But for my son to share anything like the economy with me, or he's calling asking for Tim Fry's phone number, you know, or he's doing some research on his own, or he, you know, took a vacation and did some kind of surfing, and oh my God, visited Freedom's Phoenix, and Dad, did you know about it? And I'm going, good catch, son. All right, well, seeing as how you shared something with me, here's the category we've been covering this on Freedom's Phoenix. Go take a look. Now I go, if you think you're scared now, you know. So what shall we do about it? So we'll get a chance to talk this summer. I'm not pressing things really hard, but there's things going on out and around in the country, and people are engaging. They're doing something. You know, they're informing, they're learning, they're running for, they're, you know, kind of representing, and kind of one of those guys we have on, Jim Rubens. He's a small business entrepreneur who lives with his family in Hanover. He makes his living investing commercial real estate and New England technology and health startups. He's attended Dartmouth College, studied chemistry, electronic music. Over the past 20 years, Jim's been involved in every facet of New Hampshire politics. He's led and prevailed in multiple fights against the establishment. And in his first run for office, he successfully primaried the sitting Rhino Senate president. In the state Senate, Jim launched a debate leading to New Hampshire's electricity competition law. Yay! And then fought multiple ratepayer finance bailouts of they, them, those doing. And he's been involved. Well, now he's running for U.S. Senate in New Hampshire. So let's say hello to Jim Rubens. Hello, Jim.
Good morning, Ernest. Here I am.
Yep. No, I said, you know, we're going to yak it. You know, we're talking at Pork Fest, and he comes up, and I'm running four and two. I go, hey, man, it's Pork Fest. I will do it on the radio later. So this is your involvement in doing, being involved in New Hampshire politics. You didn't go there as part of the Free State Project, did you?
You mean when I was up at Pork Fest this summer?
No. I mean, you didn't move to New Hampshire.
Oh, no. I moved up here. Oh, gosh. I moved up here to go to college. I was born in Brooklyn, New York, grew up in Connecticut. My father was Madman. If you saw that TV show, the leading figure in that, that was exactly what my father did. And we lived about 3 miles from the house where Madman Don Draper lived. And my father would get on that same train going to New York, and my father did... He created Wink, the sassy one, that slogan. He did Jeep, he did Four Roses Gin, did branding.
So he was a madman. Smoked a lot of cigarettes. Drank at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
He didn't quite do that, but we had in our house. This was it. Freaked my mother out. I can tell you that. He was into jazz. My father was deep into jazz. He was like in these jazz clubs in Manhattan before white people were into jazz, and he'd bring jazz musicians. I mean, we had some, you know, major. We had Thelonious Monk at our house before he was a big deal, playing at my piano in my living room, and the jazz musician. This is my mother was freaked out. They'd go into the bathroom and they'd shoot up their heroin and they'd come back out and continue playing. My father did not do that, but.
Damn.
He was deep into this. He was a trumpet player, and he wasn't that good, but he somehow insinuated himself into these to get them to come up to Connecticut, suburban Connecticut, to play. So I got into music early in life. I went to Dartmouth College, chemistry major. I left college because my parents wound up getting divorced. The money ran out, and I found myself in one of those Arab oil embargoes, and there were bumper stickers on cars that said, "For the last Yankee to leave New England, please turn out the light." I could not get a job, honest to God, with all my education, and so I became a dump picker. People used to call them junkies, not the kind that shot up, but the kind that went into dumps and collected scrap metal and sold it to make a living, and that's what I did.
Really? Damn.
And I was able to earn about $40 an hour, and I had nothing. I did it on my bicycle. I had some bolt cutters and a hammer and a small crowbar. Those are the tools you use to collect junk and scrap metal. And I bought an apartment building on the wrong side of the tracks and built it up and started investing. And I started over about a 25-year period of time, I started at least 10 businesses. I grew them up, sold them. And I retired in my early 40s, and I decided to run, as you mentioned, for the state Senate. And I took on the Senate president, which was, people thought that was really crazy. That's the second most powerful person in the state of New Hampshire. And I campaigned hard on voting rights and school choice in a fairly liberal district.
What year is this when you did
this? This is in the 90s I did this. And I won, and I got elected to the state Senate, and I did a bunch of stuff that people who aren't from New Hampshire won't know about, but I got a bill passed that has increased voting on town and school elections by 5 times. That was revolutionary.
Tell me what you did.
Well, I had to fight off unions. The unions liked packed meetings so they could get in the fire truck or the teacher union contract with packed meetings. They were the old-fashioned town meeting where if you didn't show up to the meeting and raise your hand, either voting for or against, your vote was zero. So I allowed towns and school districts under this bill I got passed to have all-day voting. Just you go into a voting booth, like regular voting, and you vote your preference, and you do so in secret. And so voting turnout has increased 5 times, and it has democratized school district and town elections in the state. I wrote the state's charter school law. I got a bill passed that the then Democratic governor, I got a bill passed to end teacher tenure in the state, which no one thought could ever have been done. And the Democratic governor had to veto it and try to apologize and explain away. I got a bill passed. It was not really a joke. It's real. I got a bill passed to require teachers, because I was chair of the Education Committee in the state Senate. I got a bill passed to require teachers to pass an 8th grade math test. It passed the legislature. It makes sense. You know, make sure teachers can know math.
Yeah, but teachers can't pass it.
The governor had to veto it. She had to veto a bill to require teachers to pass an 8th grade basic English and math test. Just basic, basic, super basic, you know, post-grade school competency. The Democratic governor had to veto it. So I get stuff done. Been a volunteer. I ran for U.S. Senate in 2014. The Washington establishment, imported Scott Brown from Massachusetts to run up here because he had the Wall Street money. I lost to him. I came in second. He lost the general. So I'm running again in 2014. I'm running against an incumbent named Kelly Ayotte, who is got a 25% conservative voting record. This is a person who basically votes Obama's favorite U.S. senator. And
well, how much does that stuff matter? I mean, that you got this voting conservative kind of record of, and it's always down to one issue. It's always, you know, you get the top three or something.
These are conservative liberty issues. She's voting
All right. Well, when we come back, we'll go find out what they... Because I'm interested in... That's one thing I'm interested in, is this election cycle, more than I am the numbers and polls and those kind of... I don't really care. I want to know what the issues are. Because that's what libertarians do. We are able to come in and define the issues that are even discussed. Excellent. So let's go ahead and talk about that when we come back. I want to know what's driving the electorate
and you.
Okay, when we come back, we'll do... I'm interested in the issues that you think are driving whatever.
Yep, I will get into them. War and peace, debt, growing government, unconstitutional.
Trump!
Trump?
I mean, you know, everything's whatever the hell Trump, everybody's got to have a position on whatever it is Trump's talking about.
I got positions on that. I got positions on everything.
You know, Well, I'm just wondering that, of course, you got positions, and they'll try and distract you and get you off your position or the position that they want to talk about position. And I'm just wondering what it is that you're driving. You know, you go, yeah, that's all very interesting, but if we're not talking about this, then we're just wasting time, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. You know, well, so, are we on air now?
No, we got like 20 seconds.
Okay.
All right. We'll be back in just a little bit.
This is the Liberty Radio Network, broadcasting the latest liberty-oriented audio content 24 hours a day at LRN.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. I'm Ernest Hancock here in Phoenix, Arizona. I can say that now. In Phoenix, Arizona. I had to check myself saying it all the time when I was on the road. But we're back in Phoenix where it's hot. It's really hot. It's hot, hot. You know, it wasn't that bad, really. I mean, it was only 100 and whatever. What was it when we got back, Donna?
I think, 115, 112, something like that.
Was it really?
I think so.
Didn't seem that bad.
Well, it's dry.
It only seemed like 106.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't really get hot. When it kind of hits 105, you're going, yeah, it's kind of getting hot. You know, when it hits about 110, 115, you're going, yeah, that's damn hot. That's like, damn, I don't want to walk out. You know, I want the remote start of the air conditioning's already working in my car for 15 minutes kind of thing. You know, but it is not this wool blanket crap that's over you. Like, the worst summer I ever had was in Iowa for 2 weeks, you know, years ago. Like 5-6 years, I was like, what the heck is this? You know, but... You know, it's just not that bad. Well, we're talking with Jim Rubin, and Jim Rubin's is running for U.S. Senate against they, them, those. But he's been a state legislator in New Hampshire, get some stuff done, you know, trying to, you know, court the liberty community. He's got some issues he wants to share with us. So, and we're going to find out just how he went to Pork Fest. He wanted, you know, a bunch of them libertarians, and them libertarians up there having a libertarian thing. You know, I'm going, hey, I'm one of y'all. You know, pick me. Is that kind of what was going on, Jim? I mean, you see the liberty, the free staters up there as a voting block worth having? Are you with them? Are you against them? You know, tell me how... been your record with dealing with these guys over the last few years?
Well, when I ran for the U.S. Senate in 2014, I had the endorsement of the Republican Liberty Caucus, both their New Hampshire and national organizations. So I'm strongly liberty-oriented. And the issues, you want to get into issues here, that's the reason I'm running. AYT and the Washington Republican establishment has gone off the reservation. They have forgotten about core Republican values, because those are the values of liberty. Every single Republican event I go to, we talk about, all our candidates and our party leaders talk about.
Yeah, I know. For a freaking 20-something years, I've been hearing them talking about it. Don't mean
constitutionally,
squat.
Constitutionally limited government,
yeah, blah,
and
blah, blah,
personal liberty. And every single speech and balanced budgets. And you, the Republicans that wind up getting elected, not all. Trust me, not all. You know, look at Mike Lee, for example. Oh, not all the Republicans, but they get elected and they go down there. And Washington, the power is so intoxicating. And you're instructed when you get down there, get to work raising money from the interest groups down here. Those interest groups, in order to get yourself reelected and maintain permanent incumbency and get very rich, as many of them do, and retire and become a lobbyist. And the average U.S. senator who retires and become a lobbyist earns $2 to $3 million a year. And so the intoxication of staying in power and collecting money, and the people that give you the money to stay in power want big government. So Republicans claim to want a simple tax code and lower taxes. We wind up voting for, look at it, the taxes keep going up and the tax code gets more complicated. We claim that we want less regulation, and the regulation, we have 15 times the amount of regulations that we have now compared to
Jim,
the
I've
War
heard
II.
This from Republican candidates 15 gazillion times.
I know
exactly what
exactly.
You say. Oh, so, we want the true conservative values of, and I'm going, we should, and Ben, and I'm going, yeah, okay, so as a legislator there, you know, you've been part of some positive change, I would imagine. You got some stuff done. You know, let's talk about all the evil stuff that you did.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you some of the safe stuff I'd like to do in Washington. So, for example, I mentioned regulations. I would like to have all regulations sunset on a 15-year cycle. So we've got 15 times the amount of regulations we had compared to the end of World War II.
Okay, why 15? Why not 10?
Whatever. I chose the number 15 because I want to be practical. Obviously, when you go into debate, you got to have 60 votes in the U.S. Senate to pass anything, so no one person rules. But it's what we have in our New Hampshire legislature. In New Hampshire, agencies that propound and propose rules as empowered by the legislature under statute have to bring those proposed rules back to the New Hampshire legislature for approval, for final approval. That does not happen in Washington. We have the fourth branch of government, this Leviathan regulatory state that has crushed small business. So I'm proposing we do in Washington what we do in New Hampshire so that all regulations come back to Congress for an up or down final approval. And all existing regulations sunset automatically on a 15-year cycle and come back to Congress for an up or down vote, and if they have to be changed.
Man, you want to see a freaking generation some special interest money, there you go. It's going to be a 15-year, a big giant, everybody's dosing out whatever.
Right, but we have it now, okay? We've got these regulations now. We have Dodd-Frank, for example, and I probably don't need to go through all these with you. So that's one issue I'd like to work on. I'd like to start doing stuff that Republicans have promised to do decade after decade. We've got to simplify the tax code, and we've got to reduce regulations so that the free enterprise system can work again, because we are fighting socialism. We had primaries here in our state. Bernie Sanders here in New Hampshire won in a landslide in a primary because Republicans have nothing but ever-growing government. We don't do what we say we're going to do, and we have to show how we can make the economy better, how we can produce prosperity, how we can stop wage stagnation with the free market economy.
Okay, so now this is one thing that I'm hearing a lot from you. I just want to make sure that you know, from my trained ear. Okay,
right.
Republican.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I say the Republican. We've got one more time. Republican, good Republican. The Republicans always promised the Republican we didn't get a good enough Republican.
Yep.
And I'm going, and I remember dealing with, Ron Paul had a meeting one time with a bunch of the boys in Washington and had some of us go, and they want to explain it to us. And that was their mantra. We're a bunch of hardcore, independent, libertarian, anarchist, you're still voting kind of whatever people. And they're, because we were so successful in having, this movement thing, and they're like, how the hell did you raise all this money? What was the secret database you used? Oh my God. Mm-hmm. A lot of the guys with money, I mean, they come up and, put your hand on my back and go and explain it to me. And they go, mm-hmm. Ernie, we can save the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking for a wooden stake and a mallet. So I'm like, you're confusing me with somebody that cares. This Republican thing is what this distraction, this promise, this constant cycle of, I'm better than Dan and this, and kind of enticing, this time. I've been through it so many times, it just makes me angry to even hear it again.
I know, but it does me too, trust me. I'm a businessman, I'm a small businessman. I invest, and I see our economy stagnating. I see us heading to it, and I'll get into my second issue that's very important to me. And believe me, I will get to constitutional limited government issues, but I want to get to the debt problem. This country, and I see people advertising on your website proposing currencies that might be more immune from the machinations of monetary authorities. We have about 10% of the entire currencies around the world are now under negative interest rates. we have in the United States of America, Congressional Budget Office, mid-case current policy projection, next 10 years, $1 trillion per year national debt. to hear that.
That's just another number. We just print the money. You can talk about it when we come back. We're going to find out what it means when we come back.
Okay? All right.
And if it means anything to me, or it's just more numbers. I mean, it used to be a billion here, a billion there. You're talking real money. Now they just throw trillion around.
Now it's trillion.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. Jim Rubens, running for U.S. Senate in New Hampshire, is explaining it to me that he's the right Republican for the job, as if they're you know, whatever. Jim, you got to help me out, man. You know, you're talking about, you know, some of the debt thing is going to be the major, you know, got them going kind of, you know, tell me why, you know, we go, Jim Rubens, put him up there because he's going to what?
Let me continue with the numbers here. We're
numbers, yay!
Yeah, I know numbers. Sorry about this, but our debt to GDP ratio—that's the extent to which the nation's credit card is maxed out. Where were Greece was in 2008? Okay, the middle class in Greece is dumpster diving today. We're heading toward Chicago, Puerto Rico, Greece. In the United States of America, we are looking, and as I mentioned, but just before the break, CBO mid case current policy $1 trillion per year of deficit spending over the next 10 years, okay? Our federal government is bankrupt, okay? We have got to cut, and that's about 25 cents on every dollar of federal spending is now borrowing or money printing, okay? This is radically unsustainable. And so Republicans have talked about, again, during my entire adult lifetime, Republicans have talked about being fiscally responsible and do so in our state of New Hampshire in general. Okay. At the federal level, they get down to Washington, and it's all pork. Okay, I can give you some examples of some of the pork that I'm willing to cut. And an acid test for any Republican or Democrat running for U.S. Senate or any other congressional offices, name me specific big dollar items you're willing to cut. And if you're not willing to name something other than cutting research and snail darters, okay, then you're not serious about this. So I'm proposing wiping out spending on the F-35 bomber, okay? The fighter bomber, it's a failure, okay? It's lost 17 dogfights against the 30-year-old F-16 that we have in the U.S. It's a pork barrel project, and the F-35 has one purpose, and it's to spread pork around congressional districts so that lobbyists can give money to candidates who want to be perpetual
incumbents.
I don't
think this is a secret to anybody anymore.
Okay, it's not, but if you don't have candidates willing to name very big dollar items they're going to cut and take out of the budget, and it's got to be throughout the budget, because remember, to balance the budget now, if you don't want to raise taxes, you've got to cut 25 cents out of every dollar the federal government is spending. That's a Herculean lift, and it has to be done. And if we don't do that, we are heading straight into the jaws of a Japanese-style no-growth-ever economy. We could head towards some kind of currency chaos. We don't
See,
know where we're headed.
You keep talking about like the federal government as if it's me. I mean, you know, I don't care. I know they're not going to pay. I give you an example. This is kind of my perspective. I have guys from all over walks of the strata of every coke-to-puss freaking agency of whatever come on the show and tell me how they're going to, you know, do a con to change this, or they're going to restructure that, or we're going to fix it this way or whatever. Right. And I'm going, oh, okay. Well, what about the current debt? Well, yeah, we're going to have to. Whoa, time out. So you're saying that my grandchild that was in my daughter-in-law's womb, my first grandchild, is when they passed the TARP.
Yeah.
She, as she's in the womb, got like, I don't know, what was it, $30,000-$40,000 rock added to her backpack, got it on.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, kind of. So I'm just going.
Well, here's the number. Because
how is she? I don't care about the number.
All right. I'm
how is it that she owes this money?
Well, because of corruption in Washington.
Okay, where you start. You're going to dial down the corruption? You're going to give me a different number? I don't give a crap about your number.
Well,
What agencies, what entire scope of government are you going to just freaking eliminate? And that's one thing I liked about Daryl Perry's campaign and the LP thing. And he got a lot more respect and a lot more support and a lot more attention than people realize. And at the convention, he had a solid core of, what the hell he said, because it wasn't about degree. It was meat axe to the whole freaking what government is supposed to be in charge of. Or not even charge of nothing. Just get out of my... We'll eliminate one level of government, federal, just one level of government.
Right. Well, let me move right to the next issue I was going to talk about, which is unconstitutional growth of government. I mean, we have a brilliant constitution in this country that specifies that there are certain powers reserved to the federal government, and all other powers are reserved to the states, respectively, or to the people. So we have a federal government that has a U.S. Department of Education. There is no constitutional authority for U.S. Department of Education. No constitutional authority whatsoever for the federal government.
Of course there is.
Well, I don't see any.
Doesn't matter what you see. It's what the Supreme Court says.
Well,
the federal government gave themselves the ability to determine what was and wasn't constitutional. Yeah, as soon as that happened, we're screwed.
There is no constitutional authority for the U.S.
Doesn't matter. How did it happen then? The Constitution's what allowed it.
Well, it happened because the people in Congress voted last year, including
we need to get rid of that Congress thing.
Yeah, well, I have to get back there because policy is made in Congress, and my opponent, Ayotte, voted for something called the Every Student Succeeds Act last year, which for the first time, totally unconstitutionally, requires states to bring their education plans to the U.S. Department of Education for approval. Okay.
Okay. This so you're going to go to Washington.
So wipe out the U.S. Department of Education and as a transitional element.
Okay. Why? I'm going to go to Washington. We're going to do away with this Department of Education that wasn't even in existence until Carter
Two reasons why. One, it's unconstitutional. Number two, and again, I was chair of the Education Committee when I was in the State Senate, and so I've seen wave after wave, and this is the second reason why, I've seen wave after wave of the federal government attempting to fix local education, and our education system has gotten worse over the past 30 years. I've seen Goals 2000. I've seen No Child Left Behind. I've seen Common Core. Now I see Every Student Succeeds Act, and these wave after wave things, they take a little bit of our money, okay, because in our state, 6% of education K through 12 is funded by the feds, and they won't give us our money unless we obey their commands. This whole structure of using our money to force us to obey their commands has got to stop. And number two, the approach taken, this wave after wave, every 2 years, every 10 years, they have another fad as to how they're going to fix education. It does not get fixed. It's a failure. It's a functional failure.
It's not a failure. It does exactly what they want.
Well, they may want, it's got to stop. And the power is in the hands of Congress through the power of the purse. Okay, let's go back to 2014. Okay,
I'm still looking for, you're going there and you're going to say, you know, I'm going to what? Eliminate the concept, the ability, the power, because I'm wondering if the Department of Education really doesn't have any power. I mean, it doesn't make anything. I mean, the Congress still is spending all the money and creating all these programs.
Well, let me tell you what they did right here in New Hampshire. We get $200 million a year from the federal government, and they told us, and our state legislature tried to get out from under Common Core. This is just last year and this year. And the U.S. Department of Education told us if we don't obey Common Core and do their test and do their curriculum, they're going to withhold $200 million from us, okay? Every budget is tight in New Hampshire, state, local, okay? And so the legislature was at gunpoint, the U.S. Department of Education, we're going to take away your money if you don't obey us, okay? This is where the rubber meets the road world right here.
You're killing me. How are they able to get the money? It's with withholding or doing some. I mean, you want to do battle. I mean, do battle. So you know what? In New Hampshire, we passed a law that absolutely no resources will be used by the county, city, state, whatever, to further or enforce or enhance or get money or IRS come seize and take in the banks and the county and the liens of we're not going to play. How about that? I mean, nobody's really fighting battle.
Our legislature tried to do that, and then the U.S. Department of Education comes in and says we're gonna withhold from you $200 million.
Good.
That's a serious sum of money.
Yeah, bring it on. Let's file a lawsuit. Let's bring it on.
Right.
Bring it on.
Right.
They want to wait for a bloody.
Yeah, I'm just,
shooting.
I'm just telling you how this
revolution
thing works right now.
I'm and telling you how it works, right, too. Well, it, they can. They keep doing it until they can't. As long as they, them, those can, they will.
Okay,
where's
well,
the
running.
They I'm, can't? I want to know that they can't. You got, you okay. know, see, oh, I got the button I can turn. Boom. And I get last word. The what I want to do is when we come back, we're going to try and find out if there's some way that you can keep it to where they can't input. They can't take away. They can't.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Don't stop me, 'cause I'm having a good time, having a good time.
Shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger, defying the laws of gravity. I'm a racing car, passing by.
Lady Godiva! Except I have my clothes on. And we're going to have some fun today. Paul Poy coming on in the third hour, finishing up the last segment with Jim Rubens running for U.S. Senate in New Hampshire. And what I wanted to bring up, this is kind of the stuff that we're dealing with this in Arizona. I've run for, like, everything. Congress mm-hmm. three times. U.S. Senate against John McCain. They're pushing on me to do it again. We mm-hmm. do state legislator, Secretary of State, kind of record 20, almost 30 years of I get it. And I tell you what you bring to the election process and the education of the people at the end of the campaign. You either win, don't, whatever, but hopefully they're more informed about something. So this is the one thing that I just want to see where we're at here. If I'm going, because if you can't stop they, them, those from taking, doing, forcing, like you say, $200 million if we made you whatever. And I'm going, yeah, mm-hmm. And I'm going, all right, how do you stop them from getting into the decisions of an individual that wants to exit their system? I want to not pay any taxes, but I don't make anything, or you don't know about it, or I'm on the land here not bothering anybody. So I'm going, okay, I see that's how they get you. It's the land, certainly in New Hampshire, because you don't have income tax on private income. They say they don't have a corporate income tax. They just call it something else. That's all BS, okay? And I'm going, okay, so if I'm using cryptocurrency and they just don't see it, I'm shape-shifting, doing kind of, and I get paid in, doing kind of bite me. I own land, and I got a little something of, I get to use it to grow whatever I want. I can grow and sustain myself. You know, I can, you know, I sell my crops, hell, grow marijuana, I mean, whatever. You know, then here comes the man with some liens on my property, or you owe, or we say, and the quarter files and all. It's like you're not allowed to leave. So I'm going, okay, as a state legislator, when you look at some of these issues that are allowing people to leave, they get to, you know, give people rides for money in their car, and they call it Uber or whatever the other one is. You know, they are, you know, got an ATM Bitcoin at their, you know, semi-church and Keene of the front of whatever. You know, these are the things I'm looking when people just say, you know what? We're just extracting. I don't need your permission. I'm not looking for you to give approval. I'm not looking for you to sanction my effort of I just want to be left alone. I'm just doing it. So I'm wanting to know, as a state legislator, what your position was on cryptocurrencies when the man comes in and wants to explain it to you.
It would be far, far better if we had a trustworthy currency not subject to manipulation by the Federal Reserve Board, which is enabling Congress to engage in this kind of deficit, this radical deficit spending. Okay, the economy is more efficient if we have a trustworthy, small, constitutionally restrained government that does its job of securing the borders and keeping us safe and leaving the private market to operate in and of itself. Yes, I understand that some people might rightfully adopt a strategy of separating themselves from the system as much as possible.
You going to let them go?
I'm running for the U.S. Senate. Yeah, in a free society, people should be free to do things that don't harm others. But I'm running for the U.S. Senate because most of the policies that create these problems are constructed and can be deconstructed and changed in the legislature.
Okay, now this is I give you,
level.
God, man, I'll give you my point, man. This is my point.
Right,
they
but
say,
there are multiple
end the
strategies.
Fed, end the Fed. And yes. I go, I don't want to end, I don't give a crap. End it, don't end it. I just want to be able to ignore it. So as a state legislator that beat the highest ranking legislator at the time of year end and respected, and I'm an ass whipping kind of, I'm in there. I want to know what your policy was on cryptocurrencies in the state of New Hampshire when that issue was going on.
People have adjusted and are finding ways to operate outside, you know, outside the high risk currency that we have, the U.S. dollar right now. Okay, more and more people around the world are doing this. Okay, this is a sign of sickness on the part of government. We should not be encouraging people to have to resort to these tactics to protect their own well being.
I don't want to encourage them. I just want to leave them alone.
Well, yes, but I'm running for the United States Senate,
which means what? They're not allowed to have their own currency?
I'm not saying that.
I want to ask a question. God, you're playing politician with me. I'm going to ask the question for a third, fourth time.
Yeah,
I want to know what your position was when the cryptocurrency issue was in New Hampshire.
I'm not familiar with this, but
okay.
I do know that people are resorting to barter. They're resorting to having no income. They're resorting to separating themselves from the published economy where transactions are recorded in banks, et cetera, in order to defend themselves. And that's a symptom of sickness. And our government has been irresponsible and reckless in management of the currency. Okay?
See, it's always been vote with your feet, vote with your wallet, be able to vote.
And
but
people,
I'm going, you're not even saying that they should even have that ability.
People are doing this. Yes, I don't understand. People are doing this right now.
And are you encouraging it? Are you going to allow it? Are you going to vote in such a way that they can ignore the Fed without, you know, an M16 at their forehead?
Right. What I'm focused on is having a federal government, because you cannot have a prosperous economy that runs with very low friction and maximum prosperity for the maximum number of people without a trusted currency that is accepted widely by everyone engaging in use of that currency.
Yep.
And it's up to the United States Congress, and that's why I'm running for the U.S. Senate, in order that we have a Congress that votes for fiscal and monetary stability. I understand this is only one of multiple strategies by which Americans can engage in protecting themselves against this fiscal and monetary chaos that's impending, but this is one strategy. This is the course that I've chosen for my life, to have a Congress that will cut spending so that we have a stable currency.
Okay, why would they? Just you be in there? I mean, what's going to all of a sudden
I would
get
work,
an epiphany?
I would work my butt off, as I did in the state Senate, to get bills passed to engage in the maximizing of freedom, okay? I would look in the U.S. Senate. You have to get 60 votes to get anything done. I would work to find 60 votes to get a budget passed that is balanced and that does not subject us to the kind of risks of currency and monetary chaos that are now impending.
Well, you can understand, Jim, why I wonder if I've heard this before.
You have undoubtedly heard this before.
I've campaigned against guys that say this all the time. I've campaigned against people that say exactly this.
Okay.
So I'm going, okay. So I'm going, all right, well, I don't care. I tell you what, I just, you know, you are not going to be shot in the forehead for using cryptocurrency. You know, we're not going to put liens on unconstitutional, by the way, and illegal liens on your property for made up. We didn't even have a court order on your property because of taxes kind of stuff. We're not going limit what you can grow on, certainly food, on your property. We're going to, and that's one thing in New Hampshire.
Yep.
They keep talking about how all the taxes they don't have. But, man, if you got land, that's where they get you.
Okay, well, this stuff flows from policy adopted by Congress. Congress, about 3 years ago, passed a law that compels small farmers to engage in a hyper-complex regulatory regime of reporting how they grow food And if you, and this is back from my 2014 campaign, but if you drive a tractor across a field that's been manured into a vegetable garden, you've got to track that, record it, and provide a form to the federal government. This is an example of a policy adopted by Congress, signed into law by the president, that is making it very difficult for small farmers and people who don't want to engage in hyper-complex regulatory.
Where's the state in this? Where's the defense from the federal government, from the state? Where does even happen?
Individuals who want to resist this adopt a variety of tactics. The tactic I've chosen in my life is to attempt to go down to the U.S. Senate and reverse this kind of legislation. I understand this may not be the only tactic. I understand how frustrated freedom-loving Americans are about hearing promises such as what I'm making. But let me give you an example of U.S. senators. You've got Rand Paul. You've got people like Mike Lee in the U.S. Senate fighting for freedom. Their votes are typically way more often than not correct with respect to defending liberty, okay? If you had more people in the U.S. Senate, you would not have these kind of assaults on liberty. Let me come back to current issues. Something called AFFH, where the HUD, Housing and Urban Development, has now been given the authority by Congress to come into your town, and if they don't like the demographics of your town, to compel you to alter your zoning law, okay? This was a bill passed by Congress, including by my opponent, the incumbent Ayotte. I resist this kind of thing. This is an incremental encroachment by the federal government on local zoning decisions in your particular town.
You know, I'm looking at someone that is a leader in the state legislature.
Yes.
I'm wondering where the fight back against the federal government from the state is. Where's that?
It's got to be on multiple fronts. Let me just leave you with JimRubens.com. If you're interested in more, JimRubens.com is where you can find out about this stuff.
JimRubens, RUBENS.com. JimRubens.com. Well, I'm glad I guess somebody's doing it. You know, you're going to go fix U.S. Congress. I guess you got to have people in there to fix it with other people that want to fix it. And the best way to fix it is ignore it, as far as I'm concerned. Right?
That's one approach. One approach among many. All of them have got to be adopted. The one I'm taking is to fix the laws.
Repeal
laws that take away freedom. And
Law fixer, JimRubens.com.
Yep.
All right, thanks for coming on. Hold on a second. We'll be right back. Paul Play.
Some more of the streets have got.
All right, there you go. You got. That's why I do an hour. I get to say what I want to say.
You sure do.
Say what you want to say.
It was
enough time you said it, okay?
I understand frustration. I understand cynicism because I've heard politicians say this stuff year after year after year, and they break their damn promises.
Well, if they don't, it doesn't change anything. You know, they'll go in. We have a lot of good Arizona. We're going kind of Arizona. Look what I did, Arizona.
Yeah.
And I'm going, how'd that work out? You know, they missed the point. It's like the very idea that you need to get fixed the federal government in order to fix your life.
Yep.
That's the problem to begin with.
I understand that. Can I just give you, we're off air now, right? I got the charter.
No, we're recording.
Oh, we are.
You know, it's not live.
Okay, I got the charter school law passed in my state of New Hampshire, okay? And I got the charter school in the state. It's the top testing high school in the state. It's a STEM school called the Academy of Science and Design. It operates at one-third the cost per student compared to our average high school.
No, of course it does. And it's a state solution telling the federal to get bent. I mean, I need more of that.
Well, I'm advocating that legislators can do stuff that advances freedom and that solves problems in a way consistent with government.
No, I'm hip, but I'm just more supportive of it being done lower level.
Right. Well, that's why I want to get rid of the U.S. Department of Education, because we have shown right here in New Hampshire, we have found a way to dramatically reduce the cost of very high quality education, giving people choice. In this school, a PhD physicist can teach where that PhD physicist, by virtue of not having credentials, could not teach in a typical high school in our state. So that's we can advance freedom through the agency of responsible pro-freedom legislation.
I understand
it doesn't solve all problems.
It doesn't change the money situation. They still get it. They're
that
still taking it. They're
that
still, shaking down the states and the local and the families of whatever. You have more options, but gosh darn it, you're still paying. We did private education for our kids.
It is,
that didn't stop the taxes they took.
Right. It is incremental. I understand that. It's incremental.
It's over freaking night. Watch. Here it comes. It may not happen all at once, but it will happen overnight. And we're starting to see the overnight coming right now.
Yeah. Hi, Ernest. I appreciate you having me on.
Hey, I'm glad we got to have this discussion. You know,
it was fun.
I told you it would be.
Yep.
Hey, thanks and good luck. You know, we may check in. We'll see how far along this goes and may have some do the I told you so or anything. That'd be good.
Yep. Okay.
All right. Thanks, man.
Good day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.